What up, Dr. Love Dre? Let's get this party started.
You ready?
Let's do it.
Let's play starter. Get off, Rob.
Talking sports with the 12th man,
people.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
In case you forgot, oh fellow.
Time is now. What time is it, Rob?
It's now. Talking sports with a 12th man. It's happening now, people.
Rob was always surprised, like, what? I know. I always try to switch it up, and that's what happens. Anyway, of course, welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with a 12th man. We're back on our normal night. Today is Tuesday, July the 15th. Man, what a crazy, crazy weekend. We've been ripping and running, but we're officially back. And without further ado, so I always like to introduce myself. I'm Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. And, of course, I want to check in with Mr. Robert Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. Ready to have a great night of talking sports. How's everything going in your world?
Man, no complaints as always. So let's go ahead and jump right in. So we got a lot of topics to get to. And we have to throw out some numbers for our listeners if you want to call and reach out to us. First and foremost, if you want to call the show live, the number to call into, it's 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. That's the number to call. We are also available via Twitter as well as Facebook. So let's kind of give out the Twitter handle if you want to follow us via Twitter. The easy way to reach us is to go to at the number 12, THMAN Sports. Obviously at twitter.com. And we're also on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com, and if you want to type in the Talking Sports and 12th Man, you'll find us. Or if you put in 12th Man Sports, you will find us via Facebook. Man, whoo! Rob, we got a lot of things to talk about, man. So let's go ahead and jump right into this, man. What a great deal. I feel like we got to catch up, right?
Oh, yeah. Lots have been happening in the sports world over the last few weeks. Of course, LeBron James going to Cleveland. You got the World Cup, Germany winning it. And, I mean, there's been a frenzy of NBA free agency talk. And NFL training camps around the corner. College football is around the corner. So this is a great time to be a sports fan, people.
Gotcha. So I guess we'll start with football first. You definitely give us a lot of time to talk about some NBA stuff. But first and foremost, if you didn't know, Jimmy Graham for your Saints have agreed to a long-term deal. It's pretty amazing. I think it's like $40 million. 4 years, $40 million, like $21 million guaranteed. Is this a good move for the Saints, Rob, or have they hamstrung themselves, or is this just they're just kind of giving props to the best tight end in the game right now? What do you think about this?
Well, obviously, this is a good deal for both ball clubs. Obviously, you know, you've removed the headache of having to franchise a tight end again next offseason. So now he's got a four-year deal. Makes him the highest-paid tight end in NFL history. And, you know, deservingly so. He's a big part of the Saints' offense. He's a matchup nightmare. He's too big and strong for corners. Safeties can't cover him. Linebackers don't stand a chance. And so, obviously, this is a good move. He's a major piece in the Saints' offense. And, you know, both sides are happy with this deal. And believe it or not, the Saints actually gain $3 million in extra cap space by this deal. And, you know, so now they have an additional $3 million in cap space after this deal was finalized on today. So, obviously, this is it's a big deal. I think a lot of other tight ends are smiling around the National Football League. Jordan Cameron in Cleveland, you know, his time is around the corner. You know, Vernon Davis not quite satisfied with his situation there in San Fran. And then you also have Thomas there in Denver, you know, had a breakout season last year at the tight end position.
Julian Thomas.
Yeah. So, you know, he's going to be a free agent next summer, and he's going to be looking to try to capitalize on a big-time contract as well.
You know, Rob, I'm not really a tight end. I'm more of a wide receiver, too, just letting you know, man. You know, just, there's a lot of different roles that I have, man. So,
you're more of a midget, so I don't think you categorize with either one, but, you know, we'll,
you know. you never make fun of the person that has control of the show. It's something to think about, too. So,
I said the truth be told here.
Let's keep it real, man. You never make fun of the person that's controlling a lot of things, too. But anyway, I digress. So, yeah, if you kind of felt that Rob was really into that particular story, you know, being a Saints fan, he was definitely, not that it's a little biased or anything like that, but Rob is definitely showing a lot of love for
Jimmy
Graham.
Hey, the biggest sports story of his day today.
it's a slow day because we got the All-Star game and all of that, too. So that's okay. This is one of the days where you got a lot of things going on, too. But let's keep moving. So we talked about it is a very exciting time. We said that, obviously NFL is around the corner. College football is coming around the corner, too. But let's talk about some NFL teams that you're interested that you follow during training camp. So there's been a lot of movement right now. So tell us a little bit about your thoughts here and some signing teams that you want to follow during training camp, sir.
Well, obviously, of course, I'm a Saints fan. That's the obvious. So, I'm not going to stress too much into the obvious here. Of course, I'm going to follow my Saints, closer than any other team in the league. But I am intrigued by a couple other NFL teams to see what's going to happen with their training camp preseason going into the regular season. Number one, I'm going to start with the Cleveland Browns. I know there's a lot of talk in Cleveland with the Cavs right now, LeBron James going back. But I'm also intrigued about the Browns and Johnny Manziel and how that's going to work out with the Browns. So I'm very intrigued to hopefully catch some of their preseason games, see how he's doing. You know, is he really an NFL prospect or is he more of a project? And so I'm really curious about that situation. That's one of the teams, that I'll be looking to follow outside of my Saints. Also, the Seattle Seahawks. They are obviously the defending Super Bowl champions. You want to see if there's still that motivation there to try to repeat. They have a couple of guys that were actually on injured reserve last year that might even make an impact on this team this year. So you want to see, is that drive still going to be there with that ball club? I want to see if that defense is still there. A lot of people don't realize this as well. Of course, they have Richard Sherman, but they lost their second and third best corners. So do they have another corner that can step up outside of Richard Sherman? So that's going to be interesting to watch with the Seattle Seahawks. And my third team, that I would, be following real closely outside of my Saints would be the Arizona Cardinals. You may say, why the Arizona Cardinals? This is a team was knocking on the doorstep last season, finished 10-6, had a winning record, had a strong team. If I'm not mistaken, they were the only team to beat the Seahawks in Seattle last year. This team has a lot of young talent when you look at their roster. Patrick Peterson, Tyrann Mathieu, on paper looks to have a strong defense. You wonder what you're going to get at the quarterback position. But this is a team that I think is quietly on the rise, and this will be another team that I'll be interested to see how they take that next step as well.
Very good, Rob. And I'm kind of like you. There's a couple teams that you're going to definitely follow because you're a fan. I'm obviously following my Falcons. But I'm also going to follow some players too, Rob. So I like what you talked about as far as Cardinals, good stuff as far as Seahawks. And I'm going to follow the Texans. So I want to see what's going to happen with, obviously, the number one draft pick, Jadeveon Clowney, to see how he's going to progress. I want to see how those certain players that I'm going to definitely follow to see what's going to happen. I'm curious as far as what's going to happen with Minnesota and, obviously, with Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, he was a
guy. Yeah, those are good calls, yeah.
Yeah, to be a number one quarterback, but yet still he dropped a lot. So, you're going to see, is he going to be the answer for Minnesota? Obviously, they wouldn't have made that choice, but just some things to think about, some players, Rob, that I want to see how they develop. Obviously, I'm definitely right there with you when it comes to Johnny Manziel. I think the whole world is curious about him. We'll talk about him in Cleveland and LeBron James as well, too. That's an interesting dynamic. But, that's kind of how I see it, Rob. There's a couple players I want to see how they progress, how they're going to do. Buffalo, you can say the same thing with a very explosive player in Sammy Watkins. How are they going to definitely incorporate him? So there's certain teams that I like to follow to see certain players see how they progress, and I'm very excited about the progress in that particular instance too, Rob.
Yeah, those are very good, and I think I totally agree with you. Those are all going to be interesting to see You talked about Clowney. You talked about Teddy Bridgewater, from who I hear has been very impressive so far. So that's definitely going to be interesting to see. Training camp's right around the corner. From my understanding, the Buffalo Bills will be the first team to report on July 20th. So we're only about 5 days away. And so all of our football fans out there, it is right around the corner. Just a quick advertising piece here. Of course, with football around the corner, fantasy football is around the corner as well. So those of you all that want to compete with the pros, send us your information. Send us Facebook messages with your email addresses. More than likely, we will probably have multiple leagues. And so if you want to compete with us in fantasy football, please message us through Twitter or Facebook. I don't know if Andre want to give us the Facebook and Twitter information, and we should be sending out those invitations for fantasy football here shortly.
Yeah, definitely appreciate that too. So, yeah, please keep in track of that too, because we're definitely going to follow up with that, Rob. That's a great call. We are right around the corner from that. We had a really good turnout last year, and it's always good to try to compete against the hosts too, so we keep it moving too. So, once again, just go to facebook.com/TH MAN Sports, and you can find us, or if you put in Talking Sports for the 12th Man to find our page, you'll definitely see a nice little shot of me and Rob, and we'll go ahead and get you set up. As far as getting locked into our fantasy league, it's right around the corner, as we talked about. Just like football, just like college, and preseason, Rob is right there too, so it's a pretty exciting time.
And I'm the handsome one of the two.
You know what? I think our better halves will definitely beg a different on that too. But it's all good. We'll keep moving too. So I'm not gonna get into an argument with that, because I don't want you to lose that, Rob. Anyway, let's keep moving here. Once again, we're about 18 minutes in the show. Let's throw out the numbers one more time. If you want to call in to reach us, once again, give us a call at 424-243-9519. That is the number to the show. We're having fun here. So let's talk about. We're still going to keep it on the NFL track here. Let's talk about the best owners in the NFL today. And Rob, you got to set this up next year with the worst owners as well. But right now, you got to go with the best owners. And I'm going to I'm gonna start off, obviously, you got to go with Robert Kraft right now. Not that I'm a huge Patriots fan, but I think he's a great owner. In my city, Arthur Blank, man, I got to give him a lot of love too, man. Just I know he's striving hard for a Super Bowl. He's doing all the right things. He's doing a lot of press conferences. He's done a great job as far as definitely just embracing the team and bringing it back to the community. So those are the top two off the top of my head that I think are great. I want to kind of throw that over to you, Rob, see what you think. But like I said, hopefully next week we'll have the worst owners. But tell us what you think about that, some of your best for the game right now, Rob.
Well, there's three that comes to mind for me that I'm going to start off. And obviously, being a Saints fan, I think Tom Benson has done a tremendous job turning around our organization, but I also think that Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis has been a major part of that as well. But my three, number one, I'm going to go with Dan Rooney. And I think he's the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's played a major factor in the Steelers winning for all of these years, several Super Bowls, going to several others, as well as he's been an integral part of, stressing diversity in the NFL. He's the one that's responsible for the rule for every team to interview a minority for head coaching positions. So that's why it's called the Rooney Rule. So he's going to be my number one on the list. Number two, Robert Kraft, you just mentioned him as well. New England Patriots, the success that they've had since 2001 has been mind-boggling. You got to give him a lot of credit for that, for getting the right people in place to run a first-class organization. And number three, I'm going to go with Paul Allen, the Seattle Seahawks owner. He might be the richest owner in the NFL, too, co-founder of Microsoft. Done a tremendous job, an incredible stadium they've built there in Seattle. And obviously, money is not an issue there. He's willing to spend it as well. And did a great job with building this team with Pete Carroll and John Schneider. So right now I'm going to say those are my top three owners in the National Football League.
We're pretty similar, too. I was definitely going to go with, you know, Dan Rooney because, like you said, I've been a huge fan of him. Isn't it amazing? I think they've only had, like, three coaches in their history, Rob, something crazy like that.
Yeah.
Just an amazing, just a great example of how to run an organization. You know, certain organizations are firing coaches left and right. They're able to kind of stick to the course no matter what. And you can just tell that, you know, like you talked about, the Rooney Rule has been because of them. So huge fans of Dan Rooney. So I agree with you. That's definitely one of the best owners in the league right now. So, man, we're probably about halfway through the show. Let's kind of kick we're going to switch some gears here, Rob. And let's kind of get into some NBA. I know this is an exciting time. And I do have a question for you that is going to kind of go sort of NBA and also in the NFL. And it is related to LeBron James. And the question I'm going to ask you, Rob, and this is something we'll ask to our audience as well, do you think that Cleveland will win, and I'm talking about the Browns, will they win a playoff game before the Cleveland Cavaliers win an NBA championship? Who's going to get it first is, I guess, the question. So not who's going to get it first, but who has the opportunity to win? Will the Browns win a playoff game before the Cavaliers win a championship, I guess? That's the question here.
Wow, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I'm going to say the Cavs will win a championship before the Browns win a playoff game.
Wow.
And the only reason I'm going to say that, I'm still not convinced of the Browns' quarterback situation. Although I think personnel-wise, this team has gotten a lot better. And then you still have the issue, do you have an elite wide receiver on that team? And right now you don't with the Josh Gordon situation that's taking place with the Browns. And so, I mean, even though there are some great talent with Joe Hayden, Joe Thomas, I'm going to say the Cavs will win the title before the Browns. If we have any of our listeners want to comment on that question, you know, call us, let us know. The number is 424-243. Finish the rest, Andre.
9519. We're good.
Sorry about that. I drew a blank there, audience.
You're good. Let's keep moving. I like that. We'll definitely see what you know. That was a good question too, because everyone was excited about LeBron coming back. But we'll keep moving here. So let's kind of keep moving. We'll talk about. There's been a lot of moves. Let's start right off with the Miami Heat. After losing LeBron, they went out, Robin. They're kind of retooling. Patrick Riley goes back to work, and he re-signs Dwayne Wade on a 2-year deal. I think it's a 2-year deal. I want to say, let me kind of look at the numbers here, Rob. Is this a good move, a 2-year, $31.1 million contract? You know, we obviously know that Wade is kind of getting near the twilight of his career. Is this a good move for the Heat? I mean, obviously it looks like they've signed Bosch to kind of a max deal. They picked up Danny Granger, Josh McRoberts. They got Shabazz Napier out of the draft. What do you think about all these moves that the Heat are making?
Well, I think when you look at this Miami Heat team now, I think you have to give Pat Riley some credit here. Obviously, you know, you lose out on LeBron James, and you know, I think the whole organization was very classy about the situation. They tipped their hat. They thanked LeBron for his services, but they moved on pretty quickly, and that's what you have to do. And they decided we're going to build this team around Chris Bosh. You know, a lot of people forget that Chris Bosh, when he was with Toronto, was an elite player, a go-to player, led Toronto to a number 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. And can he still be that player? Based on what I've seen the last couple of years, I don't know. But maybe he just conceded to LeBron James. You know, we'll have to see. But, you know, and then you go out and get Dwayne Wade. Obviously, from a Miami Heat perspective here, when you look at the grand scheme of things, Wade is very injury-prone at this stage of his career. So I think giving him a 2-year deal, I think at this stage of his career, works for the Heat. But they also gave Wade a substantial amount of money per year. But this is one of those kind of deals where, you're paying him for what he has done and, you know, his impact on the organization. So, in my opinion, he may not be worth the kind of money he's getting at this stage of his career, but at this stage, kind of like what Kobe Bryant is getting from the Lakers, he's probably not worth it at this stage of his career, but you're still paying him for what he has done. But, you know, to answer your question, I think the Heat bounced back quickly. They went out and got Lou Alden, Josh McRoberts. I think this team could still be a top four, top five team in the East, but not an NBA champion type team.
Yeah, definitely, Rob. We talked about the shift in power that's been going on for the East, and there has been a lot of moves. And like I said, there's a couple teams that it's going to be more balanced. I think it's going to be an interesting season. And, you know, the Heat have definitely made a lot of moves. This is a great opportunity now for the Heat to prove exactly what they can do without LeBron. I know you can't really win for losing because, you know, he had some flack leaving for Cleveland, and then he had some flack whenever he left Miami. So he can't win for losing. But I think it's an exciting move. But definitely, as you mentioned, I'm sure LeBron did it right this time. I'm pretty sure he talked to Pat Riley, told him his intentions, and told everyone he's going back to Cleveland and went to the World Cup. Rob, out of the country, no press conference, really small announcement. Shut down the sports world for a whole day, but that's how you do it. And I think, like you said, it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, he blew up Twitter on Friday, I'll tell you that.
He blew up Twitter, yeah, but it was interesting to see that. I think it was very definitely was maturing with the decision. He didn't make that whole thing announcement, and like you said, he used no press conference, just said, hey, I'm coming back. And I think it's good for Cleveland, and we talked about it earlier during the pre-show, Rob, about how much LeBron means to that city. Didn't he bring, half a million to that city?
Yeah, they said the impact that he will have on the city of Cleveland is valued at $500 million to local economy.
Amazing.
And businesses. That's incredible. Put that in perspective, the New Orleans Pelicans has a $150 million impact to the city of New Orleans. LeBron James has a $500 million impact to the city of Cleveland himself.
One player.
One
oh,
person.
Amazing.
And just to put that in perspective, he has that kind of power. And we saw how the Twitter world reacted on Friday. And he's obviously, right now, you have to say he is the most powerful person, the most powerful athlete in all of sports right now as we speak.
Gotcha. So like I said, I just wanted to say that. I know we had a lot of things to talk about. I'm very happy about this move. I think it's a good move. It brings back some things and just goes to show you that it's going to take some time, but you got to give LeBron a lot of credit for making that move too. So, you know, I don't know. That's my little two cents on that particular situation, Rob.
Well, absolutely. I mean, obviously, I thought it was 50-50 if he would stay in Cleveland or go to Miami. And, you know, I think Cleveland also gives him a better opportunity to win some more championships as well. I still believe they can use another big man that can score. You know, the Bulls just amnestied Carlos Boozer. I mean, I don't think Boozer's the player he once was, but I think he can be the kind of player that can help you coming off the bench. And you probably won't have to pay him as much because the Bulls still going to pay him that contract as well.
Gotcha. Good stuff. Let's keep it moving. And I know we're talking about Cleveland, and there's been some rumblings as far as Kevin Love. I know right now it looks like that the Timberwolves and the Warriors are still trying to talk about a deal for Kevin Love, but it seems like both sides are unable to kind of agree upon the framework of the deal. I know that Golden State is adamant about not including Klay Thompson, which I think is very smart, and that also from the Cleveland perspective, you want to kind of bring them in. They're not really ready to give up on Andrew Wiggins, too. So that's who the Wolves want, but it, you know, clearly that the Cavaliers don't want to give up that. So you kind of have an impasse, as you say. So what do you think is going to happen, Rob, I guess as far as a particular move? Is Kevin Love worth that? What do you think about this? Is it going to actually go down?
Well, here's the deal with this. I think as we speak, Golden State is still a favorite to acquire Kevin Love. Obviously, Minnesota wants Klay Thompson. Golden State does not want to part with him, as you just mentioned. And so, I mean, they're still the favorites. Golden State might have a few more pieces to offer that the Cavs don't have yet. And obviously, as you mentioned, the Cavs don't want to part with Andrew Wiggins as well. Here's the deal if you're Minnesota. Kevin Love has already made it known he's not going to re-sign with you after this upcoming season. So Minnesota's got to find the best trade partner to where they can get something in return. They don't want Kevin Love to just walk next offseason and not get anything in return. So you got to figure out what are you going to get from Golden State versus what you can get from Cleveland. And here's the deal. And if I'm Golden State, I'm willing to part with Klay Thompson for Kevin Love. I mean, it's obvious who the better player is.
Wow.
And if I'm Cleveland, I'm willing to part with Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love as well. And here's the deal with that. Kevin Love, the Cleveland Cavaliers are instantly the league favorite to win the title next year if you get Kevin Love. Andrew Wiggins, you know, he's still got a few more years. He's a young player. He's only 18 years old. I mean, Kevin Love right now has an immediate impact and helps that team win a championship next year, in my opinion. So if you're Cleveland, you got to, you know, LeBron James is in the heart of his career. He's in his prime. He's 29 years old. You got to do everything you can to win now as opposed to waiting a few years for Andrew Wiggins. So that's just the way I look at it. If I'm Golden State, Klay Thompson is not as good as Kevin Love. Let's just tell the truth. Andrew Wiggins is not as good as Kevin Love as we speak.
America,
both of those teams,
West Coast,
I'm willing to make
on
that
the West
trade.
Coast, go ahead and call into the show. I'm going to give you Rob's personal cell number about that. No, I'm joking. I'll agree with you on one point. I'll agree with you regarding, Cleveland. Because I definitely think, you know, right now you don't know what Andrew Wiggins is going to be. I know he's a dynamic young player, but he's young. You know, he's got some time to evolve. But you got to look at that situation because Cleveland, like you said, I think they're more apt. They have a better opportunity to go to the championship quicker than Golden State. So if you're Golden State, you know, maybe, yeah, you may think that Kevin Love's a better player now, but I think you're further away from hitting an actual championship title. So, you know, if I'm Golden State, I'm going to hold on to Klay just because I like the chemistry that they have right now. You know, that's just me, and that's kind of the what I'm hearing from the West Coast, too. They're not really, you know, really ready to give up on Klay Thompson. I know there's some talk about Harrison Barnes, another pick, too, but that's kind of what the word on the street is in that instance, too. So, anyway, let's keep moving. I know, Rob, we got about two minutes and about 40-something seconds. I don't know if you want to kind of set the stage for the OT portion. We still got a lot of things to talk about. But before we kind of get to the next topic, I want to kind of set the stage and move forward from there, sir.
Oh, absolutely. Of course, this week we're coming to the end of our live portion of the show. We do have a 15-minute OT portion, which you can listen to on tomorrow, anytime tomorrow. Sitting at your desk, you know, taking a break, eating lunch, click on the same link, and you can get the 15-minute OT portion. We're still going to be talking some NBA free agency and a little bit of SEC football. We're going to try to squeeze some of that in our OT portion as well. So our NBA fans, our college football fans, you definitely want to tune in to our OT portion on tomorrow. Of course, on next week, we'll be back on the air live. Stay tuned. We're going to be posting it on our Facebook and Twitter pages. It's going to be either Tuesday night, 11 Eastern, or Wednesday night, 11 Eastern. So definitely stay tuned for that information. Obviously, we'll still be previewing NFL and college football, and we'll also be updating everyone and giving our thoughts on the NBA free agency as well. So everyone, definitely stay tuned. More exciting information. Send us your fantasy football requests if you want to join us and compete with the pros here. Good night, people.
Good night. Rob, you always do a fantastic job of setting that stage, too. So, yeah, we definitely want to thank you for listening to the show. Definitely want to thank you for following us on Twitter. All that fun stuff. We had, like, a lot of new followers as well. Don't forget to follow us. Once again, go to number 12, THMAN Sports. And then, you know, just once again, we're going to recap the pages for Facebook. Just once again, go to facebook.com/12man sports. Or if you put in Talking Sports with the 12 Man, you'll be able to find us as well. Going into the OT portion, we're actually going to talk, like Rob talked about, we're going to continue to talk about some more news as far as the NBA, some top free agents that are going to be remaining. And talk about Steve Spurrier, his comments that he talked about Nick Saban. He's always a lightning rod, Rob. And we're also going to talk about Texas A&M, what's going to happen with life after Johnny Manziel. So, you know, Johnny football still gets talked about. I think he's almost as bad as Tim Tebow.
Oh, you took the words right out of my mouth. Remember, we couldn't go a week without talking about Tim Tebow, and now we can't go a week without talking about Johnny Manziel.
We'll keep moving as always. But, yeah, we thank you for listening, and we are officially going to go to the OT portion. Good night, people.
Good night, people.
All right, we are ready to roll, so we are officially into the OT portion, and let's kind of keep moving. We got about 15 minutes to talk, and let's, once again, you already talked about the Bulls, and they used their amnesty clause on Carlos Boozer. Let's talk about the big deal, Rob, with the Wizards, and that they get Trevor Ariza sent to the Rockets. They got like a three-team trade. You want to kind of highlight that, and kind of, is this a good move for the Wizards, and what does it mean for the Rockets?
Well, obviously, this was a three-team trade between the Washington Wizards, Houston Rockets, and the New Orleans Pelicans. I think if you really look at this trade, I think Houston and New Orleans are, in the grand scheme of things, the two teams that's going to win in this trade. Start with Houston first. They're going to, the key piece in this trade for Houston is Trevor Ariza getting a four-year, $32 million contract with Ariza. I think this is a big loss for the Wizards, who really came up last year, made it to the second round of the Eastern Conference, and Trevor Ariza probably had his best year as a pro last year. Shot the ball extremely well from the outside. His defense was also incredible as well. So obviously I think this is a big blow to Washington here. Now Washington has turned around and signed Paul Pierce, but at this stage of his career, is not playing up to the level that Ariza is at this stage of his career. So I think that's a slight downgrade for the Washington Wizards. Also involved in the street team trade, the New Orleans Pelicans, the key piece in the trade for them, they're receiving Omer Asik, the 7-foot defensive center from the Rockets. I think this is a key piece for the Pelicans as well. It's going to allow Anthony Davis to really concentrate and play the four, and allow Asik to man in middle, rebounds, block shots. A couple of years ago as a starter for the Houston, he was averaging a double-double, 11 points, 10 rebounds, a couple of block shots. If the Pelicans could get that kind of production, I think that would be a big win for them as well. Now, the Wizards, they're going to get a trade exception in this trade. They get an $8.5 million trade exception that they can possibly use to pick up a player that has a similar contract. So, I mean, the Wizards could probably make up for that Trevor Ariza loss with this trade exception. So we have to stay tuned to see what they're able to do with that trade exception.
Well, I think good stuff, man. It's a very interesting. I know we're going to kind of agree to disagree on a couple of points. But, like you said, the Wizards – They're making a loss. Maybe they wanted to get some more veteran presence on that team. I agree with you that definitely Trevor Ariza is definitely a better player at this stage, but maybe they realized they needed a little bit more, somebody had a little bit more experience in that word to try to help them out, because they do have a young team. So, Needless to say, we'll see how that plays out. They're making that particular gamble. That's all you can do. Let's talk about, Rob, some of the top free agents. Obviously, it looks like Carmelo's going to go back to the Knicks, even though he's not getting that max deal, save about $5 million. Thanks, Carmelo. You put us through all that. But he's going back, maybe following the words of LeBron. I'm going to go back home. We know about LeBron. And who's the best, out there, Rob, if you are kind of on that free agency wish list? Is there anyone that's still a target from our top free agents, if you will?
Well, I think most of the stars have already kind of moved on and signed at this point, but there's four players I want to talk about here. Eric Bledsoe, Greg Monroe, Lance Stephenson, and Evan Turner. These, in my opinion, are probably the four best free agents still available on the market that I can think of. Hopefully I'm not missing anyone. But the top two names I mentioned there, Eric Bledsoe and Greg Monroe. Eric Bledsoe, of course, is a restricted free agent for the Phoenix Suns. Greg Monroe is also a restricted free agent for the Detroit Pistons. The word on the street is actually that those two teams are talking to each other about a sign and trade straight up, Eric Bledsoe for Greg Monroe. So I think when you look at it, I think that if that trade does take place, Eric Bledsoe to Detroit, Greg Monroe to Phoenix, I think when you look at that in the grand scheme of things, I think that's a win-win for both teams. Detroit has got to get better guard play. You have Josh Schmidt, Andre Drummond. You need a point guard that can run that show for them. They went out and got Jody Meeks, who could be a good guard off the bench for them and come in and shoot the ball. But I think Bledsoe will be a great piece for Detroit, and vice versa for Phoenix. Phoenix is loaded at point guard. They got Goran Dragic. He just signed Isaiah Thomas from Sacramento. So obviously they can afford to trade a player like an Eric Bledsoe, who had a breakout year last year. But Monroe improves that team. You know, they lose Shannon Frye, who went over to Orlando, so he left Phoenix. Greg Monroe is a very cerebral basketball player. He can score the basketball. He can rebound. But he's also a smart football player. He's a good passer, understands the game well. I think he can be a good impact. And I think can improve that Phoenix team in an already loaded Western Conference. That the top two names on the list, they may go in the trade for one another. The third guy I mentioned, Lance Stephenson, Indiana's trying to do everything they can to keep him. Lance Stephenson is not liking what he's hearing so far as contract numbers, things of that nature. I still think when it's all said and done, I think Stephenson will wind up back with the Indiana Pacers. I think they'll wind up, reaching an agreement. And the last guy, Evan Turner here, I think he's been a starter in the NBA with the Sixers, but I really think his best role is going to have to come off the bench and be a 6 or 7 man on a good team that can come in and score for you off the bench. Obviously, there's a few teams that could use a player like that. I think OKC can use a player like that, even though they just signed Anthony Morrow. So he probably wouldn't be going to OKC at this point. But I think there are some contending teams. I think even the Memphis Grizzlies can use a player like him that can come off the bench and score the basketball. So it'll be interesting to see where Evan Turner winds up as well.
I noticed you didn't say anything about Lance Stephenson. Is that just because you think he's going back to Indiana, or you just think that he's not a target at this time, or what's your thoughts about him real quick?
Yeah, just mentioned Lance Stephenson.
I totally missed that.
Hey, you falling asleep on the show.
I did mention. Okay, me. Forgive me, Rob. I was so focused on who I was thinking of the next person. I totally skipped you. I didn't even listen to put that in there. I know we're talking about Evan Turner too, but cool. My apologies, people. Okay, I'm on it. So that's good stuff as always. And I like how you obviously highlight a couple of people that we had targeted. I know Evan Turner. We'll see if that happens with OKC. I know, huge fan of Anthony Morrow, but we'll keep an eye on that particular situation as well, too. Rob, I promise, I was thinking about something totally else. I didn't realize you slipped that in there, I promise. But anyway, quick, we'll keep moving here. I guess we're ready to kind of switch gears. I do want to talk really quickly about Steve Spurrier and what he said about the Nick Saban, and as well as Texas A&M, too, because if you're kind of following the comments out there, it almost seems like what Steve Spurrier said was almost a compliment, but was it wrapped around with some sarcasm because he basically was he's always used to giving jabs to a lot of people, but he actually turns around and says that he calls Nick Saban the greatest recruiter. What did he say, the greatest recruiter in the history of college football? So, because obviously Alabama's had the top number one recruiting classes in the last 6 years. So, Is this one of those comments, Rob, where he's actually giving him praise, or he thinks it's a little bit of sarcasm?
I think it's a little bit of both. you're talking about Steve Spurrier here. You know it's a little bit of sarcasm as well. And, that's his personality. I mean, he's very entertaining. He's worth the price of admission if you go to a Steve Spurrier press conference. You never know what he's going to get. I still recall when he was coaching the Washington Redskins about how he was playing. I recall this obviously because he was playing against the Saints, and Steve Spurrier made a comment. He says, I'm not going to come in here and work 12, 14-hour days. He doesn't do most of these coaches in the NFL any good. Jim Hazlett down in New Orleans is not helping him much. And needless to say, the Saints went out and whipped his butt the following week. But but you know, he's very he's worth the price of admission when it comes to his press conferences. And yeah, he's right, Nick Saban. You know, 5 out of the last 6 years, they've had the number one recruiting class in the country. You know, in the nutshell, he's putting the pressure on Alabama, you know, saying that you're the favorites, you know, can you hold up to it? But Spurrier says, he says, luckily for all of us, it's the best team that wins, that plays well on that particular day, not who has the best recruiting class. I think he's complimenting Saban, but I also think there's an underhand sarcasm underneath that as well.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, and I like the first time I heard you pull out that Steve Spurrier, you know, little impersonation, man. That was fantastic. But just as a quick FYI, this is kind of my thought process with that. And I agree with you. I think it's definitely a situation where he's kind of like it is a backhanded compliment, because you know they didn't win the title last year, and a couple of times, you know, if you had the best recruiting class, you should be, you know, you should have like 5 straight national championships, right? That's what I think he's kind of saying too, in that he's like, man, you know, you should have been winning. You've got the number one recruiting classes, so you know, if I'm Nick Saban, I'm taking that like really, we're gonna go that route. But
yeah.
You know, like you said, you know,
and he also said the recruiting services are not wrong either.
So he's definitely kind of like did like a double take on that one too. But yeah, that's kind of what Steve Spurrier does. Like you said, I'm actually happy because he does a great job of making us kind of, you know, talk about this now too. So it's good for us to have something, some fodder. He always does some great things. I mean, I love the comment about the coloring books that he always made. You know, he's a joy to have in college football. So I know he kind of brings things on himself. Maybe takes pressure off of his team because of that, but you know, like you said, he's great to have him for the press conferences for sure.
Absolutely, like I said, he's definitely worth the price of admission when it comes to press conferences.
We got about 3 minutes left in the show here, so I do want to kind of quickly talk about does life go on for Texas A&M without Johnny Football? And I like the comment that Steve Spurrier did say too, real quick, Robin, that it is a shame that Texas and Texas A&M don't play each other anymore right now. But does that still happen? Does what happens to Texas A&M? They've been getting some pretty decent recruiting classes as well. But what do you think about them in this particular instance?
Well, you hit it right on the nail there. Kevin Sumlin, I think, is doing a phenomenal job. I think he's a heck of a head football coach, and I think he's a guy that the NFL is watching really closely here. Another great recruiting class for Texas A&M. I do think they're gonna have a slight down year this year, though. I think long term, after this year, maybe they'll bounce back. But you're probably gonna start a freshman quarterback. And I think, you know, losing Jake Matthews, you've lost a tremendous amount of talent on that offensive line, and their defense was already suspect. I think they're still gonna need another year before they get that defense up to SEC caliber. So I think they're going to drop down a little bit to the middle of the pack of the SEC this year. And I think maybe next year you start moving back into contention. I think they'll get the quarterback and the offense back up, and as well as the defense coming close. They're playing SEC football. The talent is there, but they're young and they still need to be developed. So I see a slight down year. I'm not going to say a down year. They're going to probably still make a low-end bowl game, but they're going to regress a little bit this year post-Johnny Manziel.
I like Texas A&M real quick because they're getting that stigma. They're going to start getting good players, Rob. They're already known as getting those great linemen. What's his name that's going to be coming up? He's maybe another top 10 pick. I think his name is Ojibwe. He's going to be just as good. Not as, you know, like you said, you know, so the word is straight how he's going to react to replacing Johnny Manziel. But, you know, let's keep moving, and I think it's going to be great. They are going to probably take a step back, but Kevin Sumlin's going to reload. He's going to keep getting talent, more you know, quarterbacks, more people that are going to see that talent in that instance too. Let's talk real quick, Rob. We got about a minute. Go ahead and set the show for next week, and I'll talk to you next week.
Once again, people, pay attention to our Twitter and Facebook page. Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Twitter at 12manSports. We'll be updating you on what's happening in the sports world. Also, for our show on next week, it will either be on Tuesday or Wednesday night, 11 Eastern, whatever night it's going to be. It's going to be 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific. So definitely stay tuned with that information on our Facebook and Twitter page. We enjoy having you all listening to our